This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's Speroni, who rolls the ball out to Cannon. He's got options in front of him. He picks out Thomas. This is a nice looking move from Palace. That's a neat ball to Ambrose, with space on the right. Good turn. He crosses into Johnson! Oh yes, back of the nest!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford of redandbluearmy.co.uk, and I'm joined by Albert Curley and Sam Hesketh, and we're here to seek out a fourth league win in a row against Leicester City. Palace have reached the FA Cup quarter-final, and it seems that we cannot steer clear of Watford. We'll discuss the draw, VAR, Brighton, Millwall, and 2-0 Shipperleys. Rapper, comedian and TV star Doc Brown then joins to talk Manchester City away, his new kids' book, Bear Moves, and the potential of a glad all over again follow-up. We want more than the Zenith Data Systems Cup.
All right, all, we're back on Sunday with the Back of the Nest review pods. Looking back at our away trip to Leicester, the illustrious Chris Hambin will be back in the host chair alongside DR, Patrick and myself, Mike, and we'll be dissecting what will hopefully be yet another win over the Foxes. That's right, we can now officially class ourselves as their bogey team. Hopefully, I haven't just jinxed that. We'll be in your inboxes late Sunday.
It's cut out by Milivojevic. Now Schlupp. Driving forward for Crystal Palace, and the effort in the back of the net. Jeff Schlupp has calmed the Palace nerves with his fifth of the season, his second FA Cup goal, and the Premier League team are in front. Milivojevic, Townsend header, and there's the second goal. It's Max Meyer, the German, with his second Palace strike, and the Premier League team in charge in South Yorkshire.
Commentary there from our victory over Doncaster taking us into the quarterfinals. We'll get into that shortly. Illustrious Chris Hambin there, Albert. Is Mike Chris's biggest fan?
By the sound, I couldn't tell if it was sarcastic or not, but you know, take him at face value. It sounds like he is.
That's of course Albert Curley, and we also have Sam Hesketh with us.
Hello.
Hello, and we'll start as always with this.
Damn, I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer? I'm going to leave you three to it, man.
But due to various comings and goings this week, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 19th of February, so you won't hear it until a Thursday. And I'm not drinking on Tuesdays anymore, so I'm on PG tips. Hesketh, what are you on?
I'm not much better, to be honest. I'm just drinking water.
And Albert, who's had the shits, I think you described it as. What are you?
Yeah, I'm the one who's had a dodgy tummy all day, and I'm the only one drinking in beer. I'm on the Budweiser.
Yeah,
it was probably not advisable. I feel like a deflated balloon.
I was thinking about you at Doncaster, Albert. It was Budweiser on tap in Doncaster.
Oh, there you go. Shame I was at work.
So
let's start with 2-0 Shipley's. So at the game on the weekend, Neil Shipley and his brother, his little brother as he describes him, came up to Doncaster away, and they got quite the reception when they rolled into the away end, with half the background area chanting, "There's only 2-0 Shipley's." Now, have either of you seen Neil Shipley's brother before?
I haven't, no.
So he's what you think Neil Shipley would look like in real life. Neil Shipley is only actually about 6 foot, maybe 6 foot one. His brother is like 6 foot five. And you would think that, and a lot of people do, when they see his brother, immediately think that's Neil Shipley. And people were going over to him. His name's Jim, by the way. And they'd get photos with him, and he'd pose for the picture and like get the picture. And they're like, "Oh, it's such a legend, Neil, you're a legend." And he'd be like, "Well," he goes, "thanks, but my brother Neil is over there." And Albert, the best way probably to describe Jim Shipley is that he looks like he'd be really good at darts.
I'm not sure how to take that, especially if I was Jim Shipley.
Well, they were absolutely loving all the attention they got. Jim, 2-0 Shipley's, "Oh, Shipley's brother" was another one that was ringing around. So, I think it's about time, Albert, that we got Shipley on the show soon, isn't it?
Most definitely. I want to go around his house for dinner.
Kippers at Shippers. Do you like Kippers? No, never mind. We'll leave that.
They repeat on me a bit too much.
Do you remember last week I was having great difficulty saying TIFO? And I was getting TIFO, tofu, all of that. But the Doncaster display, as it was supposed to say RTID, standing for Rovers Till I Die. But Hesketh, it looks a bit more like ATID.
I mean, I don't want to make a comment about the North and their ability or inability to spell. But the only other thing that I can think of related, like similar to that, is the first time I took my wife to an away game. It was Blackburn away. And we parked up on this, you know, like weird looking like estate. And it had a building with like not through windows and a massive wooden sort of plank, which had a really shit boxing glove on it. and it said "ready to fight." The only problem was they'd spelt "ready," R-E-D-Y. So, yeah.
Trying to save space, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You're the art director, so maybe you could give him a few pointers, Albert.
Some people just haven't got an eye, you know, to interpret that. No, you just a bit of street slang. Ready. You know, was it two? They could have done a two. Ready to fight.
Yeah, but I was trying to think if it was deliberate there, and that their rivals wear red, but they don't, do they? So
no, I think they're just shit at spelling.
What do you think that A in ATID could stand for, Albert?
Albert, yeah, probably.
Albert Till I Die.
I see what you've done there.
Till we die, aren't we?
I see what you've done there, Terence. I like it very much.
Well, of course, the victory against Doncaster has given us an FA Cup quarter-final against Watford. Still never been drawn at home in an FA Cup quarter-final in our entire history. Interesting little...
Did we... not get drawn at home against Wolves?
Yeah, didn't that get debunked on Twitter? I can't think who it was.
Did it? Because we beat them in a replay away, didn't we? I thought.
Ah, right. Okay. So Chris...
Terrence looks like a right idiot.
No, he doesn't. Chris Walters just goes on the shit list. So I'll be messaging him after. It's my own fault for just straight up trusting him. But of course, yeah, it was a replay, wasn't it? There you go, where the great late Darren Pitcher scored that absolute cracker of a volley, and along with all the others. All the other worldies. But we can't seem to steer clear of Watford, can we? And one thing that Watford fans have been jumping all over is the fact that VAR will be in the game. Now, of course, if VAR was in the game in our last two visits to Vicarage Road, we would have had two penalties. Wilfred Zaha would have had two of these yellow cards for diving rescinded. So, Albert, you're going to have a word with your son and tell his boys to pipe down?
Yeah, so we can't steer clear of Watford. I definitely can't because I live there. It's a tricky game. You know, they're the second highest third highest ranked team in the tournament. Third. They're on a good run of form, and yeah, we haven't had much joy against them this season, but hopefully third time's a charm.
But Hesketh, don't we always seem to beat Watford when it matters, a bit like Brighton?
Up until this point. I mean, listen, if we were playing them at Wembley, I'd be all over it. We'd batter them because I hate playing Palace at Wembley. I don't know. It's a tough game. And there are some people who say, well, we've lost both the league games, so we'll win this one. Obviously, I'm not one of those. I think we've lost twice, so they're better than us at the moment, so we'll lose this one.
It's very difficult to lose to the same team three times in a season. Although saying that, I do think we did it to Manchester United when we lost them in the FA Cup final that year. So,
well, I was going
to
say, it's quite rare that you play the same team three times in a season.
Yeah. But yeah, if you think about it, because we played a lot of Premier League teams in the last FA Cup run, didn't we? So I think we beat Stoke three times that season. It's very difficult to do. But especially if you lose the first two, so then lose the third one, you've got to think that we would have learned by our mistakes in the first couple of games. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on.
What I want to know is who are Man City paying off for their cup runs? Yeah. FA Cup, Rotherham, Burnley, Newport, and now they got Swansea. League Cup, Oxford, Fulham, Leicester and Burton.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need any easy fixtures. They're quite a good team.
Yeah, it will be the fakest quadruple ever if they do it, because that's not a cup run. That shouldn't be allowed.
That's an asterisk already. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Negated if they win anything.
First team to make it to an FA Cup final playing only lower league opposition. I'm sure that hasn't happened before.
Bit disrespectful to Burnley and Leicester there. But that's okay.
They're just so non-Premier League sounding in my mind. Sorry, I completely missed
one of
that.
Them a former Premier League champion, I'll add.
I don't know. I've been in a course all day learning how to code, so my brain is scrambled at the moment. So there you go. Maybe I should just give up now. But of course, what the FA Cup draw also bought is that Brighton and Millwall would be in the semi-finals, one of those two. Anyone got any objections to a lot of pigeons flying over the stadium on that day?
Oh, it's just such a depressing thought. It's such a depressing thought. One of them is going to be in the semi-final of the FA Cup.
I hope it's Millwall. I hope it's Millwall.
I hope it's Millwall as well, because they ain't winning it. But
but Millwall have kind of got that far in my lifetime. So it's not, whilst it's obviously a huge, not fluke, they've got there because they've won all their games. Whilst it's a bit of an anomaly, I've seen them in a final, so I'm kind of all right with seeing them in a semi-final again.
Mm.
Brighton, however, get fucked.
Exactly. Someone else who can get fucked is this guy from some sort of racing TV show.
There was no Premiership football. So you've got a football crowd element. Where am I going to go on a Saturday? And let's be blatant honest, those fictionists are out there. So we know when those things are going to happen. But that's the only time we've seen those problems over the last 2 years. There's been no football that day.
Ask if I know this really got your goat.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
I thought it was a horse racing guy.
Hey, really got my horse. This whole, like, let's just say everything that goes wrong in sport, oh, there was no football line. It must have been football fan. You know, this doesn't happen at racing because we're all so lovely and we go there, just have a nice, drink our pims. It's like sanctimonious shit and it fucking winds me up. Sorry to swear. Billiam, you're going to be earning your money this week, mate. It's just, you know, look, yes, there are twats that, you know, go football, but if Albert, for example, went to watch the horse racing,
oi,
he wouldn't be running around, would he, throwing in his champagne flute at people's heads? Would you, Albert? Depends. You wouldn't, surely.
Depends how many glasses I'd have.
he's gobby little Watford fan son might be.
He's not a Watford fan. That was one mistake.
Is he a floating ultra?
He's going to redeem himself. He's going to redeem himself.
Yeah, but no, I'm with you, Hesketh. That's, you know, that narrative needs to stop about football. You know, there's a lot it's not the 80s and then anymore, and you barely ever see that in football, you know, unless there's, you know, a really long-standing rivalry or something like the Millwall-Everton big fights kicking off the other week. You know, that comes from something a long time ago, which is, you know, there's a lot of anger still harboured. I dread to say it, but probably understandably so, you know, when you look back and it's several Millwall fans got stabbed in one sitting inside a stadium. I mean, you can understand why there might be something hanging over from that still today. But, you know, that's from this, that racing pundit is, well, the fact that the video was deleted very, very quickly, it tells you all you need to know about that. And talking of wankers, Albert.
Yeah.
Your masturbating footballer from last week, John Fashanu having a bashanu.
What about him?
Well, it just got me thinking to see if I could think of any. And I've done some studying through the week. So this is actually me studying to actually see if I can come up with any. So
that coding course was intense, wasn't it?
It was intense. So I'm going to go with Damien Duff up the muff.
Yeah.
Richard Dunn up the bum.
Wow.
All right then. Nicky up the butt.
I've gone goalkeeper specials. I mean, David Seaman writes itself.
Yeah.
And then you've got Vito Minoni feeding the pony.
Wow. Well, we're going to finish that there. And when we come back, we'll be talking about our trip to Leicester.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Wan-Bissaka. Back to Townsend once again now, Milojevic. Might open up for a shot here for the captain. Oh, it certainly did. It's a special, special goal to break the deadlock. Gazal. Into Iheanacho. Nicely done by Iheanacho. Guaita saves. And it comes off the post and back into the keeper's arms. And he goes and gives a little grateful tap to that post as well, Guaita. It's a really good stop.
Yes, yeah, so commentary there from our game against Leicester earlier in the season when Luka Milivojevic scored a cracker from the edge of the box and the victory was sealed with Vicente Guaita's amazing save from Jamie Vardy. I must say, I don't think I'm ever going to get over Minoni fielding the pony. Thanks, Albert. You've set me right off there. Right, this.
You're welcome.
Jeff Schlupp, Hesketh.
Oh, I thought you were going to do one about Jeff Schlupp.
Yeah.
Jeff Schlupp, two girls, one cup.
Yeah, I was filling the cup I was going to go for. But
Hesketh, Jeff Schlupp, after you really laid into it prior to the Fulham home game, what's happened?
It's doing it to spite me. It's the only thing I can think of. I've not seen anything of Jeffrey Schlupp in the year and a half or whatever that we've had him that has indicated he's capable of doing anything in a football match. As soon as I'm vocal about it on this podcast, he goes on a run where he, A, deserves to be in the team, B, starts scoring goals after I said that he could never score a goal, takes players on, runs forward with the ball. He's doing it to wind me up, and it's working. Jeffrey, if you're listening, pack it in.
You know, I genuinely can't believe it, to be honest, that he's a former striker turned winger turned left back who's actually now discovered that his best position's actually centre mid. Albert, do you think he's basically bridged that gap that we lost with Ruben Loftus-Cheek in being that sort of driving force from the middle to the front line?
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Yeah, not as elegant, I'd say, but the effort's there, and you know he's a speedy player, and he's scoring goals. You can't knock him.
You can't. And after, well, not so much you, but certainly me and Hesketh knocking him so much that I feel like I have to stand back and say, well, you know what? Fair play. Roy must have listened to this podcast and realised that he needed to get him out of the left back and left wing position. So we can take some credit. But
Roy, if you've got any masturbating footballer puns, do let us know.
Roy Hodgson getting his pod on. That's bad, isn't it? Oh, Jesus. This is going downhill fast.
Scott Dan is someone who's certainly come back from injury with a decent vein of form in the FA Cup games for sure. Heskip, do you think he's pushing for a starting place in the first team?
Well, if everyone's fit, probably not, I would say, just because Sacco and Tompkins are such a good partnership, and I think Roy really trusts them as his first choice. But I think Dan's been very good in the cup games that he's played, in the way that, you know, Martin Kelly has when he's played. I was a bit shocked, in fact, when Kelly was picked over Dan for the game against West Ham, because I thought Dan was probably ahead of him in the pecking order in Roy's mind. But it's nice to have four centre-backs that can all come in and do really well. You know, they've come in, albeit against Doncaster, and got a clean sheet, which is no mean feat with the bloke behind him in goal. I think Tonks and Sacco are sort of easily first choice just because of how good they are, how consistent. But if injuries do continue to happen, which they inevitably will, then it's great to see that Dan and Kelly both are in good form if we draft them in.
I'm trying to think, other than Mark Noble's penalty, have we actually conceded a goal this season with Kelly in the team? I'm struggling to think of one, because I'm pretty sure we've kept a clean sheet in all the three FA Cup games. One for the listeners, or for just me to research after, I guess. But yeah, I think Scott Dan, Kelly starting over him in that West Ham game was probably down to just a little bit of fitness. Kelly's, you know, been up and running all season, so it's probably just didn't want to risk him. But Albert, thinking outside the box, a way to free up Van Aanholt and Wan-Bissaka from defensive responsibilities, perhaps to play Dan in a three with Tompkins and Sacco?
Ooh, I don't know about that. I think of a back three, and it just reminds me of the Frank de Burkle, and it makes my spine go cold. So no, not for me. I'd rather have option. You know, like Sam said, good options on the bench, or if there's an injury, you know, having four centre halves all pushing each other for a starting place. And yeah, you know, Tompkins and Sacco are by head and shoulders the first choice, but that's not because Dan and Kelly are poor. It's just that they are head and shoulders above the rest as a duo. And it's, you know, it's just nice to know that that's an area of the field that we don't have to worry about should there be any sort of niggles or someone needs a rest. It's really positive.
Certainly. I think we've done Max Meyer to death. I think he had another very good performance against Doncaster, and should he be in the team over MacArthur? I think we've done all that. So we'll gloss over that one, but fantastic goal from him. A very, very good team goal there against Doncaster. So we'll move up front. Batshuayi started the game against Doncaster. How do you think he did, Hesketh?
Pretty anonymous, really, wasn't he? I think we weren't really going for it. We were in, you know, we score after 10 minutes or whatever. We're in cruise control pretty much. Even me, miserable me, once we scored, so I thought, well, you know, we've won, we're fine. And so we didn't really have to keep pushing. We weren't like banging the doors down attacking wise and smashing the ball into the box for him, which I think is probably where he's going to excel. So it was pretty, I thought he was pretty anonymous. Like I said, he didn't really do anything. And at times when we're punting the ball up the pitch, he's not winning any headers. I mean, it's not his game. So I wasn't too surprised when he came off for Benteke. But I don't think, I mean, it's his first start and he's sort of not played first team football for a little while now. So maybe he's just easing himself in. But I mean, we've seen flashes of what he's capable of in the league game. So I think, yeah, I'm sure there's plenty more to come.
Yeah, Albert, can you put down because he got through one-on-one and it looked like he was going to get a shot off, and then his final, well, penultimate touch before his shot was a bit heavy. Do you think you can put that down to rustiness, or do you think he should be doing better there?
Well, I think long-term, he does need to do better there. But yeah, rustiness played a part. You know, it's his first start for the team. I think he did well to sort of spring the offside trap and get on the end of it. And yeah, a slightly heavy touch, I think, anything a bit less than that, and he gets a shot on target. So that was quite unfortunate. But whilst he didn't have an amazing game, I don't think he was, you know, I don't think he was, wasn't crap or anything. And you'd like to think that after a couple more weeks in the team and a bit more sharpness, those chances, those one-on-ones would result in a better opportunity for him.
Yeah, it's such a rare viewing of seeing a striker like that get through one-on-one. I can't remember the last time it happened for Palace. So,
first game of the season against Fulham.
Yeah, but still just see him as a winger, right? So
yeah, it's true. Like
seeing a number nine, as it were, cutting through there. But yeah, it was
23. Is he 23?
Yeah, 23. Yeah, you know, I'm talking more traditional. So as I said at the top of the show, we're looking for a fourth win in a row against Leicester, a second league double in a row after the 5-0 and 3-0 last season and the 1-0 this season. God, not even conceding goals against them, are we? Let's get some predictions. Heskiff, last week you nearly nailed it, sir. You said it was going to be 2-0, but then didn't have any trust in Hennessy. And you also said that said that Meyer was going to score, but you went 2-1 in the end.
Yes, I'm so close. I've almost been a billionaire like 10 times in the lottery, but I just change it just at the last minute and get it wrong.
And Albert, your thumping 5-0, was it? Didn't quite come to fruition.
No, but like I say, didn't count, didn't it? There was no points at stake. I was just playing the game.
Indeed. And of course, me saying 1-0 to Palace with a scrappy late goal after being under the cosh for 45 minutes, once again proving that I know sweet FA about football. Right, we haven't asked any of the listeners this week because of the early recording of the show. So we'll go straight in with our predictions. What are you going for, Heskiff? I mean, this is getting important now. Let's just put this out. So Ed Kellaway is on 25 points in the prediction league. Sam Heskiff is on 20 and Albert is on 16. So it's very close. So this is important.
Well, what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm going to stick with what's got me this far. I'm going to play it safe. I predict we're going to lose. I was having a look at Leicester because in my head they're either pretty good or pretty crap, a bit like West Ham really. But their results of late haven't been good. That being said, they've played some tough games. They've played Liverpool, Man U, and Tottenham in their last three games, but they got a draw at Liverpool, but they lost the last two. So I think it's going to be tough away against them. I think they're probably going to be decent. I reckon it'll be a close game, but I think we'll lose 2-1.
Well, you are on a season-best run streak of four results in a row, correct? Not the actual scores, but so hopefully...
I would obviously love to be wrong, but yeah, I'll go 2-1 Leicester.
And Albert, you're on the back of two successful tries. 1 point for the Fulham result and 3 for the West Ham. So what are you going for?
I'm going to go for 2-1 Palace.
2-1 Palace.
They're not in the greatest vein of form. You know, a good point at Liverpool, like you say, but, you know, lost to Wolves, lost at home to Southampton, lost at home to Cardiff. You know, they're not in any great shakes. So we're better away from home. They're quite bad at home. So, yeah, I think I fancy us to nick it 2-1.
Yeah, that's also what I've gone for. I've gone for a 2-1 Palace win. You know, in fact, because you've gone 2-1, I'm going to change it to 2-0. I have faith in our defence. We'll keep a clean sheet. Why can't we keep them out for a fourth game in a row? Right, so we'll finish that there. And when we come back, I will be talking to the infamous Doc Brown, Ben Bailey-Smith, who is here to talk about his new kid's book, Bear Moves.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. at participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest, match preview podcast, www.backofthenest.com.
You can hear the red and blue roar when we play, from the homes they'll roll up to when we wait. Fair play for your fans, but they just ain't us. We got one big hand on the FA Cup. Glad to know we're all over again.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are now joined by someone you know in many different guises. He is Dion in Derek, Tyrone in Hunted, Joe Hawkins in Law and Order, Dom Johnson in Life on the Road, Durka Cicero in Doctor Who, and of course, the drug dealer in Inbetweeners. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Ben Bailey Smith, a.k.a. Doc Brown.
Nice. That's a great intro. Durkus is the only certified non-black name on that list.
Yeah, Tyrone and Dion.
I've met a Darkus, but not a Durkus.
Nice stuff. So, just beat Doncaster on the weekend and drawn Watford away. How are you feeling about the FA Cup?
I'm feeling good, you know. The Doncaster win was so solid. It was never in doubt. Which is weird from a Palace perspective. I thought we were really professional, and it feels like Roy's taking it a bit more serious now. I mean, it's hard to say how serious, but it's pretty serious now. You look at those eight teams left, and listen, we're in the mix, man. We're in the mix. It's all about the draw.
Yeah, man, we certainly are. I mean, you know, Watford away is not the best draw out of it, but it's also, it could have been a lot worse if we got Man City or whatever. So I'll take it, man.
And we've ruined Watford's day many times in the past. There's many happy memories I've got of ruining their day, so I'm sure we can do it again.
Yeah, so, and obviously the question on everyone's lips is going to be, will we get a glad all over again squared?
You know what, it hasn't actually crossed my mind, and that's probably for the best. I don't think it should even come into contention until we win a semi-final. Which is what happened last time. I mean, I didn't want to jinx it last time. When we won that semi-final, I was gassed. But I still wasn't thinking seriously about doing it. But then it was a hip-hop producer who is a Palace fan who contacted me. And he was like, you know, we got to do this. And I was like, yeah, actually, we really do have to do this. So if we win that semi, I'll have a think. Thanks, mate. Cheers. Right, I'm backstage at a gig. There's quite a lot of toing and froing going on here, but I'm fully focused.
The life of a rock star. I've been backstage there. It's usually just cans of Cronenberg, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is slightly different because I'm actually with a rock band. I feature on a song of a singer-songwriter called Andy Burrows. He used to be in Razor Lights. He's on tour at the moment, and a feature on a song, so it is actually it is quite rock and roll. Nice. At least tonight, one night only for me.
Very nice. I saw Razor Light live back in the day, so very nice.
Nice.
Palace have obviously had one fantastic result this season already, the 3-2 win at the Etihad. How did that one go for you?
it was bittersweet. It was bittersweet. I'm not going to lie, because. Well, earlier on in the season, I'd been invited by Sheikh Mansour's people to come up to the Etihad and as a guest of the club and do some I was supposed to do like a live Q&A in the fan zone up there and you know, have a nice meal and watch the game. And I looked at it and I just thought, like, I try my best not to work on weekends so I could be with the kids and whatnot. I looked at it, I just thought, the form we're in and the form they're in, like, really, I'm going to go up there, we're going to get tonked 5-0 and I've got to, like, be Mr. Saturday Night at the Etihad for a bunch of City fans. I was like, you know what, just tell them, like, thanks, really appreciate it, but no thanks. And of course, Sod's Law kicks in and we play absolutely out of our skins.
Where does that Townsend strike rate in your favourite Palace goals of all time?
It's right up there. I'd say it's in the top three. I'd say it's in there with Ambrose's against United and Ian Wright's where he comes on as a sub in 1990. But those are the three goals I've seen on... actually, Ambrose, I was there up in the East Bank at Old Trafford, but Wright I saw on telly live and Andros I saw on telly, and I'd say easily those three are the best that I've seen in the moment for Palace. The emotions are hard to describe for all of them. Probably Wright was the most emotion, but Andros might be the best goal. I mean, it's an absolute firebolt. It's amazing.
Yeah, if it doesn't win Premier League goal of the season this year, something's gone horribly wrong.
Which would be a nice turnaround for us, because so often the goal of the season is against us.
Yeah, man, that's exactly
it. Hashtag Kasami.
Yeah, nice. So how do you think the rest of the season's going to go? You think Roy's going to keep us up and potentially get us to the final again?
It's a really weird season, isn't it? Because after the top six, the drop-off is just disgusting. There's so many terrible teams in this Premier League right now. You know, Everton for so long have been the best of the rest, and they're awful this season. So it's really, really odd. Huddersfield and Fulham are starting to drift away, which leaves one position, which, you know, whenever I'm not looking at the table, I think, yeah, fine, mate. We're not going to... There's only one spot left to take. But when you look at the table, and you look at the numbers, we're still in this dogfight, like, brutally in it. So there's no guaranteed safety for a while. That said, I think we'll be fine, man. I think either Batshuayi or Benteke or both are going to start clicking soon, and we'll be absolutely fine. So for once, I'm not too worried about that. But it's quite interesting, the parallels of 2016, us being down there in the dogfight and doing really well in the cup and knocking out Spurs. So, you know, there's definitely some parallels there, and I've got this weird fever dream of the semi-finals being two derbies, you know? Manchester derby and a South East London derby. There's something about it. It just feels written in the stars.
Yeah. How do you think the police will do with those two games on the same weekend?
It's going to be a miserable one for the boys in blue. There's no question about that.
Right, so let's move this on to... you released a book called Iron Bear. It was last year, wasn't it?
Year before last, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was Albert, who's on our show all the time, loves it, reads it to his kids still. And now you've written a sequel.
Yeah, the sequel just came out in hardback last week. It'll be out in paperback next year. But to celebrate the release of the hardback, we've booked in a whole bunch of kids' events over the next few months. We're going to be at the Discover Kids Festival in the South Bank next month, which will be really cool. But we're going all over the country, so all of that stuff I'll stick on the website, and people can check it out where we're in a town near them. But this second book is a lot of fun, and we created an interactive show around it because it's basically about dancing. So I get to basically do a lot of stupid dance moves that I've written into the story and get kids involved. I'm really proud of it, man. I'm really proud of it. And looking forward basically to a few months of parties around this book.
Yeah,
actually having an adult party for it tomorrow, which I'm very much looking forward to.
I will be in attendance at that tomorrow.
Excellent, so excellent.
Looking forward to that. And so for the listeners, what's the website called where they can get these tickets?
You can check out my website, docbrown.co.uk, but probably because I'm so rubbish at updating it, it's probably best to go to Walker Books. So walker.co.uk, the publishers. They have all the information they need to bring your kids along. We're going to be in Bradford. I think we're going to be in Newham in a couple of weeks. We're going to be at Cheltenham Children's Book Festival, London Book Festival, South Bank. There's a whole bunch. We'll be travelling around. So there'll be an opportunity for everybody to bring their kids. See the book performed in 3D by me. and come and say hello.
Right, top stuff. Well, Doc, thank you so much for joining us, pal.
Pleasure.
Look forward to seeing you tomorrow and seeing the book in person.
Yeah, man. Who have we got this weekend?
We're away at Leicester this weekend. Looking for a fourth win in a row, mate.
That would be lovely. They always seem to lie down for us these days, so see what happens.
Yeah, we'll tickle Jamie Vardy's belly while we're at it. Okay, mate. Speak to you soon.
Shut up.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Right, that's your lot for this week. Albert, I hope you feel better, good sir.
Thanks, mate.
Yes, and Hesketh, you be kind to those students at the university.
Always, I love them more than anything.
And you're travelling up to Leicester on the weekend?
Most certainly am. We are going to be there all day because we bought our tickets before they changed the time. So we're getting there at like midday now.
Yeah, you're certainly not the only Palace fans floating on that ship, that's for sure. So, yeah, we'll find something to do up there. I don't know. Non-league game, maybe? I don't know. Have a look around, see what's happening. It's actually my first miss of the season. I will be heading to Amsterdam on Friday morning and coming back on Monday. So nice quiet weekend over with the canals and stuff like that, you know.
Mm.
Yes, and if anyone else is going to see Armin van Buuren in Utrecht on Saturday night, let me know.
Armin van Buuren, I love him.
Him? Yes, him. And so we'll be back next week. We're back on a Thursday night, back to our normal slot, reviewing the Man United game and then previewing the following game, which, of you know, why would I know who it's against?
It's Burnley,
there you go.
Lower
league opposition.
Conference heavyweight, Burnley.
Right, go to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, and until next week, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.